Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In our next break, we will get a Ginger dating update report. But in the meantime, you're in on that, right, Corey?
Both of them are redheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all both have no souls.
Oh. That feels...
Carter gave us a thumbs up. Alec was a little
offended. What are we talking about here, Kevin?
Hey, is this Cowboys player underappreciated? Now, I want to point out that this list we're going to go to, and Corey, you could tell me if you interpreted it this way. They're not necessarily saying this Cowboys player is currently underappreciated,
right?
But with some of the move-ins and the shake-ins, that they're going to start to move into underappreciated territory. Give me cut number 13, and it's not Cooper Rush. Is this Dallas Cowboys player underappreciated?
In the Tampa red zone, snap back, standing, time, thrown in the end zone. That's a touchdown right to the post. Jalen Tolbert got free, and Rush dimed him.
All right.
He had seven touchdowns.
That's really damn good.
Seven touchdowns. I don't even think I noticed that he had seven touchdowns this year.
Do you think right now that?
Man, he's underappreciated.
He's underappreciated.
No. I think he hasn't lived up. Like the expectation was for him to be a number two receiver on this team, and he hasn't lived up. George Pickens has been traded for because of that.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think that he's underappreciated because we didn't know what to appreciate from him, because there never was anything, in my opinion. Now, that being said, seven touchdowns isn't anything to sneeze at for last year. That's pretty impressive.
I don't know how much you do this, but one of the things I think about a lot in terms of, like, did you get an opportunity? Are you underappreciated? Is the need at your position. And Jalen Tolbert's a great example for that. The Cowboys were desperately wanting, hoping, needing that somebody could be their second wide receiver.
Yeah.
And to your point, didn't work out. So they had to go get George Pickens. So this article kind of discusses, and this is from NFL.com.
Yep.
Top candidate for each NFC team entering 2025 season to be most underappreciated. And I would love it if we got to that point where Jalen Tolbert again had seven touchdowns and you're like, oh yeah, crap. He was really good.
I guess the other thing regarding Jalen Tolbert, though, is he your third receiver?
I think so. By default,
okay.
For now.
All right, and because...
Although, you know what, seven touchdowns, and he did have, what, like 50 catches or something?
Mm-hmm.
That does seem to lend itself to your competent number three wide receiver.
Yeah, and I mean, I know a lot of people, they're like, what about Turpin? Turpin is a gadget guy in a lot of respects. I don't think he's like an elite receiver. I think that you get him the ball in space, he can do some special things. He's not your typical slot receiver. CeeDee Lamb can play anywhere on the field. CeeDee Lamb, you can line him up in the slot. You can line him up outside. You can line him up in the backfield. You can make him the quarterback. He could probably play tackle. He's one of those guys that you just kind of put anywhere on the field. We don't know about Mingo. We don't know about Jalen Brooks. Ryan Flannoy is supposed to take those steps. So the the most we know is that Jalen Tolbert is somebody that they've wanted to succeed for a while. And when the Cowboys want them to succeed, they give them every possible chance.
That point right there, because wouldn't you love to see a more realistic competition for wide receiver behind Lamb and Pickens in training camp? But what I think is actually going to happen is you're going to be like, well, obviously Tolbert's our number three. Obviously? Yep, obviously. So we're not even messing around with that. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't you want to give some of these other guys some opportunities? Well, if they do prove it, maybe they can make the practice squad.
From the 469, does QB play count some in Tolbert's inconsistency? I could see that, and I know some people argued. I know Mickey was big on this going back to his rookie year. Coming out of South Alabama, maybe you had a bigger learning curve than some of the other players. One thing I will say is you can look at his numbers, and honestly, I think look on the field and say he's gotten better every single season. And if he is as good, if not better again this upcoming season, I think you'd feel really good about him as a number three wide receiver.
I'm still kind of in this other boat, Kevin, where underappreciated in a lot of respects is, man, that guy's been here for so long and we didn't know all the work that he put in.
Right.
Or your team is very, very good and there's a guy who doesn't get enough love. this is a team where it's just like everybody's kind of, they haven't done what they're supposed to do. And so is anybody really underappreciated because we expect more out of the whole thing? So that's where I get kind of caught up in the underappreciated moniker a little bit, because I don't think anybody on this team is underappreciated right now because they haven't been good enough to be appreciated the right way.
Okay, I'm going to ask.
And I'm hoping more and better from them.
Sure. I'm going to ask the question then, even though you just kind of answered it from your perspective.
Ask the question then.
That Bobby asked in Crosstalk. I can't remember if we said that on air or off air. Kind of the joke about, is Dak Prescott underappreciated? And my answer is definitely not. He's appreciated by the Cowboys because they made him the top paid player in all of football at a time where you've seen that not every quarterback gets paid more than the next one. Josh Allen is, and Brock Purdy are perfect examples of that. And I know he gets a lot of loud hate, but I think
there's a huge contingent of Cowboy fans that love him.
Absolutely. That, and they're just,
for sure.
They're maybe not always as loud. There is a group of them that is. I think the haters are a little bit louder. I think Dak Prescott is appreciated exactly correctly.
I am right there with you. If he's was super successful, the love for him would be immeasurable.
Sure.
Like, can you, like, just imagine, this is the Cowboys we're talking about. You're the quarterback for the Cowboys and you've been super successful.
Yep.
More than just, you know, regular season stats, playoff success, Super Bowl success. You're in that mix. He would be the most beloved. We had the most beloved conversation last week at CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
Dak wasn't anywhere really in that conversation because it is a divisive thing. Now, that was the same way with Romo. That was the same way. I mean, that's how it's been, is you either love Dak or you hate him. You love Romo or you hate him. It's a very enigmatic place to be.
And I think they followed similar trajectories, because I'll argue, in 2006, when you brought Romo in, then everyone was like, oh my gosh, I might start to love this guy. And then 2007, you're like, oh, I know we should have won in the playoffs and it didn't work out, but 2008's our year. Watch out, rest of the NFL.
And you just kept doing it with Romo. You just kept feeling like, hey man, I like this guy as my guy. I love that he wears the hat backwards.
And then 2008 didn't work out. So year three. And then that's when people were like, okay, well, plus it probably didn't help that if this is the worst thing that ever happens to me, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, that one hurt people.
That didn't help. But it was after that I think people really turned on him. I think people forget, like, Tony Romo mania was running wild. And that's the same thing now. I know we're removed from it, but in 2016, when we did Peace-a-thon, and this is when we didn't have anywhere near as many items, the number one item that people were tripping over themselves to try to get was the combo signed football of Dak and Zeke. So much so that somebody called in from Vegas and they're like, oh man, I really wanted that football, and brought us, did a great job. And he's like, you know what? You pay that money, I'll get another one.
Yeah.
And so it followed the same trajectory of 2016. People fell in love with Dak Prescott. 2017 was a problem because of a variety of different things. And then back to 2018, when you lost in the playoffs in 2018, then I think that's when people made their decision. Is it fair to only give a quarterback 3 years? Not necessarily. For some reason, Justin Herbert has avoided that same level of scrutiny. And I can't understand that for the life of me.
Because nobody cares about the Chargers.
You know what? That's a great point. That's actually a really good point. That's what I've decided. Same thing about why people don't complain more about Trevor Lawrence. Because they're like, meh, Jacksonville.
It's Jacksonville.
Either way, in your face, Will. And so I think that is what's happened. Is for whatever reason, you appear to get a three-year window. And
if you don't do it in that time, then people are going to say you're a bum, you're washed, you're not capable of it. And a lot of times, Kevin, in year one, people pick a side. And with Dak Prescott, that absolutely happened, was people picked a side. They either loved Tony Romo or they hated Tony Romo. And if they hated Tony Romo, they were rooting for Dak.
And it's so weird.
Rather than us, when we were just like, we're just winning right now and we're happy with that. Let's just enjoy that.
I absolutely remember a conversation that we had with Fish, and it was like, what if the Cowboys are 5-1 when Romo's healthy?
And
he goes, obviously you put Romo back in. And we're like, what do you mean, obviously? If you're 5-1, why do you not stick with what's working? And that's the same thing that we still run into today. How many people right now, are whether you're pro-Dak, anti-Dak, whatever, are more rooting for their side to be right than for them to win. Like me personally, I'll tell you right now, I do not think that Dak Prescott is good enough to win a championship.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, sorry.
I can't believe you.
But you know what? Here's the other reason I don't think he's good enough to win a championship, because I don't think this organization is anywhere near good enough at maneuvering the salary cap to add enough talent to put Dak over the top. Because how many quarterbacks have actually won a Super Bowl more or less by themselves? A handful at best. It takes an organization to build it up. And I don't think we have the organizational knowledge or capability with the salary cap to make it happen, okay?
We haven't proven it so far.
Yes, absolutely. So I've said that. That is my opinion on the record. You know what I would love to happen for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl and make me look like an idiot? I would much, much, much rather the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, make me look like a chump, than come on here and be like, I told you, I was right. I'd rather be at the victory parade telling everyone what a dumbass I was.
Would you sit on a float that had one of those
100%.
The dunk things, and Dak just gets to dunk you over and 100%. Over and over, and you just have to keep getting back up there and getting dunked by Dak?
Now, I'll have to get somebody to help me out with this, but I'll guarantee you, if they can get my float into the parade, we'll put Dak was right on the side of the float. I will just keep walking up and getting dunked again and again, because the Cowboys would have won the Super Bowl. And I am a Cowboys fan. We were all born and raised in the Metroplex. I would much rather see the Cowboys win the Super Bowl than be right about whatever. And don't you think most Cowboys fans should be on that?
I think so.
But they're not. Because
people want to be right about their opinion. And which I've always said on this show, we've decided a long time ago, I'd rather be entertaining than right. And so, like, clearly, I get things wrong all the time.
Sure.
But no, like, I'm not trying to argue to win an argument. I'm trying to have a discussion because it's an entertaining thing that I do. Like, I enjoy conversation. So, yes, yeah. I agree. A lot of people want to be right with their argument and can't admit when they're wrong. You know, whenever, if they get proven wrong by something, they're just like, well, I'll find another reason. I'll move the goalposts a little bit so that I still look right in this.
I'll admit, for a long part of my life, I was that person. I have gotten better at accepting the times that I was wrong instead of trying to argue about how I could maybe sometimes still be right.
Sometimes you checkmate. Yeah. That's just the way that it is. Sometimes you're just checking. You got to figure something out.
I've gotten a lot better at just knocking the king over and being like, all right.
Screw this. So, flip over the whole board and then be like, yeah, I'm going to play Monopoly. It's a lot more fun for all of us.
Instead of that game of checkers where you just keep moving back and forth to the same spots and you're like, just let this be
over. Being said, who on this team do you think is is there aside from Tolbert? Is there somebody else that's underappreciated, or does Tyler Guyton have a lot to prove? Does Cooper Beebe have a year two on his way, and he hasn't really quite earned that yet? Tyler Smith might be the one that goes underappreciated to me because of what he had to deal with on that offensive line last year as the one who was like, I don't even know if I'm going to play tackle today or not.
Yeah.
And so I would say that there's a lot of guys on this team that have more to prove than they are underappreciated. And by the way, Kevin, it does look like Roppe Hintz did not skate in the optional skate this morning. He did skate on his off day, but not today.
Ooh, which is potentially good?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think it is, maybe.
I'm just giving the information.
By the way, I can't tell you how many people have texted in Frankel and Frankel Andrew Attorney text line 877-881-1053 and said they'll ride on that float with me.
Dude.
So we might need a couple of floats. Cowboys, make it happen by winning the Super Bowl.
And do you think Zeke could get up there and do the thing too? Or does he have to win?
We might need to monitor him at the parades.
All right. Okay. I understand what you're saying there.
All right. Couple of quick side notes for you. Did you see that Team USA won the Men's World Championship in hockey? It was the first time in 92 years, they have won the IIHF Men's World Championship, and that is an annual international hockey tournament, which usually features NHL players who aren't in the Stanley Cup playoffs or non-NHL players. And when they were celebrating and they did their big team picture and everything, they hung a Johnny Gaudreau jersey. I just thought that was super neat.
That is, his memory will live on forever, it seems. Absolutely. Especially in the hockey world. Oh, I got it, Kevin. Brian Anger is underappreciated.
I could see that.
There you go. Yet again, most beloved, Brandon Aubrey. Most underappreciated, Brian Anger. because special teams is what we're best at.
I'm glad we're good at special teams, but I don't want that to be the only thing we excel at.
Kevontae Turpin?
Yes.
Awesome.
We might have the best returner, one of the best punters, and the best kicker in football. That's great.
I love it.
Like, can we have some of that on offense and defense?
Mm-hmm.